Alrighty, let's go Vision Sunday and let's start to talk about vision. Since the inception of Cross Culture, I've tried to give you vision on Vision Sunday, and we do that once a year. We've then discussed it various times during the year, and I've realized that we need to be more overt and more clearer to make sure that everyone grasps exactly what's busy happening. If you're joining us this morning as a visitor, we understand that this may be a difficult Sunday to join because you've not been part of the story and the development of the church until now, but hopefully you're going to grasp some of the heartbeat of where we're busy going. We believe that vision is about being a prophetic people, a bunch of believers who dream together, who seek His face together, seek to live in His story rather than our own. And so I want to welcome you to Vision Sunday. I want to take you back to the name of the church and remind you of why we called it Cross Culture. Because if you understand the very basis of that, you understand what we're trying to do. First of all, is Cross Culture was called that to emphasize the centrality of the cross. In other words, we want to make sure that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus remains the very center of this church. Without it, there is no relationship with our Maker, no earthly destiny, and no eternal hope. Secondly, is we want to minister at the crossroads where the gospel and the culture intersect. We see this manifest in our city through loneliness, family breakdown, and the lack of mental health. And while the systems have short-term solutions for what we're trying to achieve, we believe that the challenges cannot be overcome outside of the gospel. Thirdly is, we called it cross-culture because we want to welcome all cultures. We're thrilled that we no longer need to travel as much to reach the nations, because the nations have come to us. And if you walk down the road or you go into any organization, you will see so many cultures represented. Truly, the nations have come to us. Every day we have the opportunity to rub shoulders with people of all different walks of life and ethnic and cultural backgrounds. This year, I'm wanting us to focus, and our key scripture to be around John 10:10. That scripture says, "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." And during this year, we're going to start to unpack, what does it mean for you and what does it mean for us when we say, "I'm going to have life and life to the full"? What does that actually mean? In other words, we can quote that scripture, and I believe everybody in this room today can quote that scripture, but do we know what it means and what it means to us? And so we're going to explore that and start to unpack and start to wrestle with what it looks like. So let me share the vision for 2020, and I'm going to ask you to hold questions to the end. First of all, I want to say that we want to be guided and continue to be guided by the Great Commandment. But how do we fulfill this? The Great Commandment is up at the front of the church every week. And so starting on that side, it says, Matthew 22, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And this is the first and the greatest commandment. "Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And so for us, we're saying, actually, this is incredibly key to who we are. It's incredibly key to understanding our future. It's incredibly key because it starts off with a bowing of the knee and making the most of Jesus. And so for us, we believe that it is absolutely essential. It's not an optional extra. It's the very basis of the church. And we can so easily lose the mystery of it and be busy in our lives rather than seeking ways to express this love and the very reason for our existence. I spoke to you earlier about John 13:35. It says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And we want to be known by our love, not by our differences, not by our different cultures or by our different theologies or some other gimmick that has come into the church. We want these banners to be a reality and wrestle with every dynamic of these incredible commands. Let me speak a little about venue. The leadership team are in agreement that it's time to find our own venue. And we've looked at a few venues and have at times thought this is the one. However, it wasn't to be. We're still hunting for the right one. And the right venue should be able to seat at least 150 to 200 people, have three kids' rooms for kids' church, a feeding room for mothers, a kitchen for coffee, obviously, and toilets, even more obvious. And we'll keep praying and hunting and trusting, and when the time comes, there'll be singing and signing, and we're going to move into our new venue as soon as we can. I want to mention as well about people leaving, and a number of people have mentioned this to me. We've been as gracious as we can, releasing people as soon as they feel that their time at Cross Culture has expired. And yes, we're well aware that most of them should not be leaving. And yes, we are aware that people leave when they have unresolved issues. And we want you to know that it's devastating to us as leaders who have tried to serve as best we know how, and we cry over every person leaving our community. Really, we do cry over every person that walks away. But I want to ask that despite the pain of people leaving, you focus on what God has called you to do in this church, and that understand that we have a job to do together. And to avoid being distracted, but rather that we're going to seek the shalom of God, that peace that is all-encompassing and that drives us very clearly. Be committed. Make this your home. Let me move on and speak a little about the presence of God. In terms of the presence of God, you'd remember that we had spoken of His, we've been speaking about His presence, and we'll continue to focus on His presence over the rest of this year. It'll be around six different areas, and we've spoken about these areas before, but let me cover them very quickly. First of all, an understanding that all we have to offer is because of the grace of God. Secondly, that we need to hold the prophetic, in other words, dreams and visions, and that tells us where we're going. We need to hold that in tension with our dependence on the King. Thirdly, is we need to develop rhythms and disciplines in Jesus that need to be part of our everyday life. Fourthly, is moving in the opposite spirit to the world is that of all that we're currently experiencing. The world is currently in the grip of being overwhelmed by rampant consumerism and by addiction to technology, just to name three. And I believe that God's call on us as a church is that we move in exactly the opposite spirit to that, and we find ways of expressing that well. Does that mean that we become weirdos who say we have nothing to do with technology? We deny the fact that people get overwhelmed and that we stop buying things because we don't want to be part of a world that is driven by rampant consumerism. Please, no, we're not going to become weird and wacky. What I am saying is we're going to find ways of expressing that and not being caught in the trap of the world that we live in. Fifthly, is that we want to get more into prayer and the way Jesus modeled it, connecting with the Father before the ministry of the day. Sixth is discipline our appetites, fasting so that we can learn to experience the true hunger of our spirit man. And I want to say that as leaders, we've started fasting, and it is the most amazing thing. The minute I say the word fasting, I am instantly hungry. And it is one of those things that I realize is so helpful, is to actually discipline my body so that my spirit man comes alive. Let me go a little to style and to say that we are wedded to Jesus and not to a particular style of worship or preaching or running the church. We'll explore and hopefully move with what Jesus is doing. Please move with us. Find new ways to worship. Find ways that are biblical, ways that can help you to connect with the King and help you to express your love for Jesus. Please don't hear that you have to worship a certain style. I have a certain style of worship. It's where I feel comfortable with Jesus. I want to ask that you find your place. If your place is flat on the floor, please do that. If yours is on your knees, please do that. If it's standing on your chair, please do that. We don't have chandeliers you can swing off, but hopefully in the new building we'll find one. And if you're going to hang on to that, Rachel, you're welcome to. And no, I'm joking. But then we're going to be able to express ourselves the way that we feel comfortable in. Let me move to discipleship. If you've picked up our welcome pack, and I trust all of you have read through that welcome pack, in the welcome pack, there is an everyday manifesto. It's called an everyday living manifesto. If you've forgotten the everyday living manifesto, please go and get it. I loved it. Mac preached on the manifest presence of God, and he spoke about the manifest of a ship. And the manifest of a ship tells you what's inside it. Sharon and I watched a movie this week. And one of the things that they said was that when they tried to board the ship because they had illegal stuff on the ship, they threw the manifest overboard. In other words, and I was saying, I'm glad Mac preached on it. Now I know what the manifest is. It tells us what's inside the ship. This manifesto tells us this is the everyday living. These are the things that help us and guide us. Let me run through them very quickly because I think they're worthy of remembering. First of all is in terms of love. We will know people by name and we'll stop trying to fix people and we'll seek to enjoy them instead. We want the great commandment to be second nature and not second guessed. Secondly is we want to connect. We want to do more than just get along. We want to journey with people. And on this journey, we hope that everyone will find Jesus and see the world as he sees it. And then when the journey ends, for whatever reason, we want to celebrate our time together in style. Thirdly, we want to engage. We'll engage with people from all walks of life because we care, not just as a step to evangelize. Fourth, honor. We want to pay more than just dignity and respect. We want to esteem everyone, celebrate their distinctiveness, and admire the God-given qualities they have. Number five, value. We'll seek to encourage someone every day. An email, a note, a call, a gift, a hug. Can I read that again? Because some were distracted. In terms of value, is we'll seek to encourage someone every day. An email, a note, a call, a gift, a hug. Simple is good. We'll laugh. We'll not take ourselves too seriously. Jesus, yes, but us, no. Can I emphasize that? I think we've kind of lost this sometimes. Me included. We take ourselves too seriously. We'll laugh a lot and seriously seek to live on this fun side of the island. And then lastly is encourage. We will inspire, hearten, reassure, and embolden those on the journey. Okay, let me move on and speak a little about worship. And Rachel has been our trusty worship leader for the last 7 years. And we're so grateful that she's grown this ministry and taken us places I had never dreamt of. Can we say a huge thanks? Now, I want to ask, could we give her a huge round of applause? Rach, we're incredibly grateful. We truly are. Rachel is currently studying for her CPA exams, and this is hectic. She also works for a slave driver, and she is needing some... No, stop the amening. And she's needing some space, and so we want to release her from leading. She'll still play in the various teams and will be as committed as ever without the pressure of leading the various teams. We've asked Vessel to step up into the role as leading the teams, and he'll work with the various leaders, leading as God leads. He'll also work closely with Mac, who's now taken over leading the sound and AV teams, and we're thrilled about that. Connect groups. We've stopped the Corrine Connect group for now. Kevin and Heather will be joining Vessel and Charlene, Charlene's group, and we would ask that anybody else who was attending that group join in that group as well. And all the other groups will remain unchanged. Once we have our own venue, I'm going to ask you to come together as the new venue, at the new venue, to do some innovative thinking about biblical immersion and cultural relevance, and we'll talk more about that closer to the time. Let me speak a little about priesthood of all believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, and let me read this portion of scripture to you. And if you would just listen, it won't come up on the screen. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, a holy priesthood, a holy priesthood. Good morning, holy priesthood. Offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And could I just emphasize that? Is you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. For us, we want this to be a reality. I want you to live as royal priests, fulfilling the calling of God on your life. In the last while, I've come across the thinking about the common good, which I spoke about earlier. And this simply means that as the priesthood of believers, we treat everyone with absolute respect because they're created in the image of God. And this for the common good. Not just because it's good as Christians to make them members of our church. As the Good Samaritan cared for the man he found on the roadside, his neighbor, so we have the opportunities to love on others for the common good. And I'm wanting to introduce testimonies of people who pay bills for complete strangers, who care for families, who find people who are in distress at a lift and love on them, who are loving on families that are experiencing hardship and much more. And we're going to hear some of those stories as priesthood of all believers as we do that every day, because it's not about being a priesthood of believers here. It's about being a priesthood of believers every day of the week. In terms of ministries, we'll continue to focus on 7 key areas that we're trusting will help us to grow and to know and imitate him and to love him with all of our hearts. We'll continue with kids, ladies, men's, music, Oasis, Connect groups, and prayer. And for us, that's where we want to throw our efforts. So what's going to change? A couple of things. Firstly is we've spoken to you about worship, and with Vessel, that's one of the first areas of change. Secondly is that we focus on the presence of God, which we've started to do, and to seek the face of God and his Holy Spirit. Thirdly is about the venue, and we're hoping for that move to happen as soon as possible, And at the moment, we're looking in the Belkate area. Next is our combined connect groups. And as soon as we have a venue, I said we'd combine our connect groups. And we're going to start to explore Acts chapter 2, where we said that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and everyone was filled with awe and wonder. And the miracles broke out amongst them. Next, I want to just speak about nations. We want to be obedient to Jesus, who told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. There are a couple of things. First of all is that Barry and Liz in Thailand, who relate to us, are going through some significant changes. And Barry and Liz will be here over the next 2 weeks. Liz is arriving this week and Barry the next. And we'll tell you a little about them and pray for them at the end of this meeting. But Barry and Liz are going through some significant changes in Thailand in terms of the structuring of the church and how it's going to happen. And so effectively, because their people work 7 days a week, they're finding it really difficult on a Sunday. And often a Sunday is one of the more busy days. And so what were they trying to do now is almost decentralize the church, is to break it up into connect groups that can meet at times particular to the people who are in the church and that fit in better with them. Barry and Liz have asked us this year is to say, please don't send a team, because during that change it's quite disruptive and we don't know that we can handle a team over and above that. And we've said, no problem, we understand. However, Tony Johnson's coming, and I'll speak about Tony in a minute. But Tony Johnson is a missionary in India and has a whole training school, and Vessel and Charlene went and spent some time there last year. And Tony and Linda are going to come and spend some time with us during the church camp. But Tony has opened up and said, please bring a team through to India. So we anticipate that there'll be a smaller team that'll go to India, and we'll go and explore and find out what God's busy doing there. It'll be a real exploration trip, and we're looking forward to connecting with them and eating a lot of Indian takeaways. Okay, let's go. Impact Conference in Doha, just to mention it. The Impact Conference in Doha is being held from the 19th to the 21st of November, and we would encourage as many as possible to attend. Let me speak very quickly about the evening meetings, because you would know that there are about 6 meetings between sort of April and October that we have, that we're not able to get into this venue because they open that roller door, slide out a massive big pipe organ. It's not a pipe organ, it's an organ that they roll out and do recitals and all sorts of things, and we can't get in here. And so once we have our own venue, that's not going to be a problem. But until then, we have made a decision about how we're going to do that. And so what we're going to do is, on those evening meetings, is we actually want to do a very simple meeting. We're not going to do massive setup and sound and all the rest of it. We're going to move it into the side hall where the kids meet, and we're actually just going to swap with the kids. The kids are going to come in here and watch a movie while we get together and meet in there. And I want to encourage you all to come, because what we're going to do is we're going to ask some of our budding preachers is to preach. And we're going to, on those evenings, have 2 guys or 2 ladies preaching for 15 minutes each. So we're going to give them 15 minutes, and then we're going to have a 5 minutes Q&A, and then the next one will go 10 to 15 minutes, and we'll do a Q&A. And I want to encourage you. For some of you, you would have loved this opportunity, and some of you would love this opportunity. Come. For some of you, you think, wow, if only my kids had that opportunity, could I encourage you to come and support the young people as they go through that? It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to cheer them on and to give them a high five afterwards and say, well done, come on, we need more and we need to be growing. Let me speak very quickly about the word and prayer, and that'll take on a more significant role in this year. We have a growing awareness that the culture of our day is challenging the gospel. It truly is. For many, the reading the Bible is taking away second place to Facebook and any other social media. And we recognize that this is a real challenge. We're looking to explore any way possible to have us immersed in the story of God, which ultimately is our story. Now, many of you have heard that Verve started to work for an organization called Right Now Media. Right Now Media is an American organization. And what they've done is that they have created the Christian equivalent of Netflix, except that it's not just about movies. It's about all sorts of material. There's teaching on there. There are videos. Some of you attended when I spoke about the tabernacle. And we had the tabernacle video that came off the Right Now Media site. And it's an incredible platform. It's just absolutely phenomenal. It has hours and hours and hours of material that's available there. And that material is able to be honed by us. In other words, anything that we believe is not quite correct, is we can actually remove it. And we can add other stuff that we believe is going to be helpful to you. And Viv and his company work with us as we do that. It's a wonderful platform, and we're looking forward to how we can engage with it. So in the coming weeks, we are going to sign cross-culture up, because you cannot belong to it as an individual. You can only belong to it through a membership with a church. And so as the church, we're going to sign on. And that means we're going to give you a great big gift, is that you will have free membership to Right Now Media. And I'm looking forward to you being able to access that and enjoy the rich, rich resources that are available to you. And we're going to use that in so many different ways. We anticipate that it'll be used. You can use it for your marriage, with your kids, dynamics at work. They have a whole heap of work videos, which is very, very interesting in terms of team building, in terms of leadership, and endless others. If you're students, small groups, and much more. And we hope we're going to have an introduction to you within the next 2 weeks. Let me get to church camp, and then we're almost in the final straight. Tony and Linda Johnson will be coming from India to join us for the church camp, and that church camp is going to be from 22nd to 24th of May. I spoke to Tony this week, and he's spent a lifetime enjoying the Psalms, but recently he's spent 6 months in depth in studying Psalms, and he started to tell me about it. And I was so excited about how this provides practical outworking of our discussions we've had about the presence of God. Tony's also one of the most gifted musicians I've met, and I would encourage you to sign up for the camp. I think we are going to have an absolute blast. He is a whole heap of fun. And so if you haven't signed up for the camp, please chat to Maureen afterwards. Maureen, wave. Chat to Maureen afterwards and book that and find out more about it. In closing, let me say three things before I paint a picture for you. First of all, is I remain passionate about every person at Cross Culture serving and loving Jesus with every fiber of your being. It would be easy to misinterpret my passion, and I'd ask you that you be patient with me and take time to see my heart beyond the passion. I love you, and I want to see you enjoy the God life. Sometimes I want that more than you do, and I need to slow myself down, but passion will always remain because I love you. Secondly, this week as chatting to Tony, Tony told me some encouraging stories, and in the middle of the story, he stopped to clarify a statement he had made, and he spoke about small and large churches. He spoke And Tony said that you can have a large church, numbers-wise, with a very small heart. And he said you could have a very small church with a very large heart. And he said, Mark, I want to be very clear. I'm talking about the size of the heart, not the size of the numbers that attend the church. This I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that we're a small church with a very large heart. And I want it to stay that way. My prayer is that we would never be satisfied or grow complacent, but instead that we look at ways that we can expand our hearts. Thirdly, I want to pray that you'll be able to, that he who, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore, as in Jude 1, 24 and 25. You'll see on the slide there, I put a 5. Because as I went through that, it says, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority through Jesus. And I want us to know and experience that. Could I close by painting a picture? And that picture is of a church that is passionate about Jesus. A church that says, I'm not going to be bound by the order of the day. I'm not going to live by the culture that indoctrinates and forces itself on me. I'm going to live by a biblical culture. I am passionate about a church that is going to be a bunch of worshipers who are going to get on their knees, are going to stand on a chair, are going to lie down, are going to stand, are going to raise their hands or put their hands in their pockets. I don't really care too much about your fashion and style of worship, but that everything in your heart is going to sing out to the King. I have a passion that every single person here is going to uncover their destiny and start to live in the image of God and according to what God called you to. I have a passion that people here are going to start to drill deep. And in the deep drill with God is to be rooted and grounded in Him and draw up the nutrition that starts to shoot out new green leafy branches that are going to be the joy of the nations. I want to tell you, friends, for me, this is not about a tree that has shallow roots and beautiful green. This is about deep rootedness. This is about seeking God with all that we have, and that our Christianity is not just for a Sunday, but it's for every single day of the week. And that we're going to live it because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm never going to be ashamed of the gospel. Whether I'm at work or on the sports field, whether I'm with friends or whether I'm having a coffee or whether I'm in church, I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Never. 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 But that there's going to be something that erupts in our hearts to say, God, I love you more at the end of 2020 than I could have ever imagined. And by that, I've learned to love my neighbor even more. Let's pray. I'm going to pray and then we're going to have a time of questions and answers. Lord, I want to pray that very thing that we've just spoken about. Would you help us? Help us to step into it. As we speak about vision today, God, we recognize that ultimately our vision is to be part of your unfolding story. Not that you would come and be part of ours, but that we would become part of yours. Help us in that, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. I said Q&A. Come on. This was not a preach. Sorry, if you came hoping for a preach, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We did say it was going to be Vision Sunday. It was really just a talk. Questions, things that weren't clear.
I wanted to ask if the
Yes.
Mm. Why do we need a venue?
Why do we need a venue? Gee, I have no idea. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I think a couple of things. The first one is that this venue here is growing old and tired. It's not been great just in terms of aesthetics and the way that it appears. Also is that people are growing tired of setup. And I understand that. I understand that coming in week after week, setting everything up, taking it all down is a real tiring job. Our guys have done it without fail and without complaint, and I'm so grateful for that. I really am. It's been wonderful. Our sound guys come in at the crack of dawn and start packing out sound equipment, and then at the end have to all of that stuff be packed away. On top of that is that this venue was designed around that organ. I don't know how many of you know that, but the whole venue was designed around the organ. And part of that is that it has a reverb in it. And so what happens is I speak, but as I speak, I can hear myself. And sometimes I feel like I'm hearing my own preach two or three times. And that's pretty tough. It's especially tough on people who struggle with hearing. And as somebody who struggles with hearing myself, that is not helpful. Is that the reverb is just messing with hearing. There's some people when I speak a little too softly or I speak a little too loud, which I'm more than inclined to do, it cuts out completely and they are not able to hear. And that's pretty tough. Also is that in the setup, I want to honor the people who have come in and cleaned this place because it's filthy. So because it's a community center, we have people in here on a Saturday night. And sometimes people have arrived and had to clean out some of the most disgusting, and I'm not going to tell you the stories, but clean out some of the most disgusting things out of basins and whatever else. Let's not go into the detail. But just to say, it's disgusting. And I don't want us to have to do that. I really don't. And so for that reason, we're saying, actually, let's find a venue that can be our own, where we can pack our stuff out, and it can be ours. Also is that in the venue, we're wanting that venue, in the growth of it, is to become a multi-purpose venue. In other words, we're wanting to make sure that we start to use that venue almost 24/7. We want to have clinics in there. We want to have craft mornings in there. We want to have language programs that run there. We have a whole heap of things we would love to happen there. In time, we're trusting God for a coffee shop. Man, we love our coffee. Come on, we want a coffee shop in the venue. Now, that's a little further down the line, but it'll come. But our first step is let's find a venue that can be our own and that we can use. Now, is it going to be perfect? Absolutely not. We have all sorts of challenges. The first one is councils don't allow us to be in suburban areas anymore. That is, unless you have a current church that's in a suburban area, you can't get into a suburban area. They push you into the industrial area, and the reason for that is that they want you to get out, take the noise out of the residential areas. So we would need to go into an industrial area. That's why we're looking at Balcatta. It's light industrial. There are a couple of churches in that area. We believe we'd be far enough away to not cause interference in any way in there. It would be probably about double the price that we pay for this venue, and because this is a community center, it's not overly expensive, so we believe that it's affordable for us to be able to do that and to be able to move. The challenges are there are a heap of venues available. You cannot believe how much is standing empty. But the problems with the venues that are standing empty is they have no ceilings, they have no carpeting, they have no air conditioning. And so when you start to add the cost of those things, then it becomes frightfully expensive. And so what we're looking for is a venue that has as much as possible. In other words, if it has a ceiling in it, it has air conditioning, and it has a carpet. Ka-chink, we've hit the big time. And we'll be so happy. We can then start to do a bit of drywalling, and we can put up children's church venues in there. We've seen a couple and been to go and have a look at a couple. There's just been some niggles that hasn't quite sat right, and we've not signed up on anything. That means we just have to keep hunting, trusting God. And so we've just spotted another venue. We'll go and see it this week and see if it's going to be something that's suitable for us. Every now and then we find something and we're like, yes, this is the one. And then, oh, there's something about the building that's not right. And we're back to the drawing board. And we'll keep hunting. If you see anything, please give us a shout. Say, hey, we found something, and what about this venue? So roughly, just to tell you what we're looking for, we're looking for something that has a ceiling, a carpet, and if possible, air conditioning. Those are the things that are really helpful. We would hope that it's onto a fairly main road. In other words, if it's way into the back and you can't find it, people are not going to find us easily. If it's onto a main road, that's a bonus. And our limit has been 3 minutes drive from the freeway. In other words, we have people who live south, we have people who live north. We want them to be able to come off the freeway, 3 minutes be at church, 3 minutes back onto the freeway again. So those are the kind of parameters that we've set in our looking. Area, we're looking for roughly about 300 square meters. 300 square meters gives us about what we're looking for. Anything over and above that is just a bonus. That would be a fantastic bonus. We would love that. Yeah, good. Good. So in terms of connect groups, we have a couple of connect groups. Jubes and Christy, who Jubes has just gone out. Christy, I think, is with kiddies on that side. Jubes and Christy lead our young adults group. And so the young adults move around from venue to venue. So they don't have a fixed place that they meet in and do a whole lot of heap of different things as well. Vessel and Charlene lead a group, and that group is predominantly in Marmion, which is on Marmion Road, and meet at Dennis and Sue's house. Now, again, that sometimes moves around a little depending on what's busy happening, but generally that's where it is. So one couple here. And then, where am I? Mac and Monica. Only Mac's here. Monica's out. So Mac and Monica lead a group, and that group meets up in Brad and Nusha's home, which is in Tapping. Meaning your home. There we go. Moves around as well. So also, but this one meets further north, so the sort of Caramar area as well. Okay. Does that explain? Helpful. Anything else? Good, good, good. So for those of you that didn't hear, Anusha was asking about outreach, and it's a very, very good question. For us, until now, is that we've encouraged people twofold. First of all is that you do that through the connect group. In other words, work with your connect group. So as an example is our young people have got stuck in, and they've said, hey, let's go and help people who are struggling or people who are needing practical helps and do outreach that way. And so they've gone and done garden or painting kind of things. They've done various things that are practical help things that they can get around and do in the city. For others, it's secondly is on an individual basis. And so some have been couples that have got together, or individuals that have done, and those are some of the stories that we'll share in the weeks that come, is just wonderful things that have happened, and just sharing with people, reaching out, inviting them to connect groups or whatever else it is. And I think inviting people to a connect group is a really, really positive thing. I think the third area, and that's the area that we're trusting for now, part of it is connected to the venue, but part of it is in other areas as well. In other words, what are the things that God has laid on your heart that you're passionate about? So I hope I'm not breaking confidence, but for example, yesterday we had a lovely afternoon tea. I want to stress lovely, because if you ever want to go along to Kevin and Heather for an afternoon tea, man, it's just so lovely. And we went along to Kevin and Heather and spent some time with them. And Kevin and Heather have a real heart and passion for the Aboriginal community, not only in Perth, but in Australia. And that's a fantastic thing. And we've encouraged them and said, listen, if that's what God's busy doing in your hearts, is pursue it. Is find where you can find expression for that thing. In other words, is it going and ministering? Is it going and caring? Is it going and opening facilities? Or what does that look like? Let's find out and do our homework. And we would encourage anybody here is to say, what is it that God's laid on your heart? We are 100% behind you. We want to encourage you in whatever that is. And we're going to try and promote it and try and encourage people to go with you and make that happen. And so for us, that is a very real thing that we're trusting for, is that people are going to put their hand up. Now, let me hasten to say, what I don't want to do is start false ministries. In other words, is to say, okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to buy a coffee van and we're going to go down to the skate park and we're going to serve them coffee every Friday night. Okay, suckers, which of you are coming with? And nobody puts their hand up, and Sharon and I go down with a coffee van that we purchased every Friday night and end up doing it on our own. We're not going to do that thing. Okay. So what I'm saying is, hey, we're going to encourage you is to say we have a fund available. If you believe we should be going down and serving coffee, is let's see if we can get a team together. We buy the van and we go and serve coffee. You know, I'm really keen on that. And the day comes where you feel like, no, this thing has ended, and hey, let's not try and flog a dead horse. We sell the coffee van. And we do something else. We do what God's busy calling us to. But we're looking for people who are going to take that up and lead it. And so, please, if you're feeling, hey, I have a real passion and heart for this thing, then lead it. Could I also encourage you, if you have a passion, is talk to people about that. So many years ago, Sharon and I sat with someone, and I use that example because it's actually not a very frivolous example. That was their exact vision. So they came and said, we believe that the church should have a coffee van and we should go and serve coffees at the skate park. And I said, fantastic. This is absolutely brilliant. I'm so excited. Let's buy the coffee van and you can do it. And he looked at me and said, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant was the church should be doing it. And I said, but you are the church. You do understand this thing. I mean, there is no magical, we are it. So I said, you're it, mate. And he said, oh, no. I was just sharing it with you so that you could do something about it. And I said, I'm not going to be doing it at all. I'm not going to be buying a coffee van and serving coffees on my own. I'm just like, and he said, no, I'll try and come with from time to time. No, it's not going to happen. And he left the church 2 weeks later. It's just like, I had a vision and you don't want to follow up on the vision that I had. So like, I can't stay in this church. Like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And I think what I'm trying to tell by that illustration is, hey, we're keen to get involved. But if you're feeling like, hey, I have a real passion and heart and vision, but I don't want to lead it, is talk to a group of people and say, hey, I think this is a great thing we should be doing. Who can lead it? Because I don't want to. I don't believe that that's my gifting. And let's find the right leader. And we get stuck into a couple of those things. Now, part of that, as you said, Nuj, is around facility makes it a little easier. You know, so if there is a language class or a craft morning or whatever, to get in here is almost impossible, other than the time we have booked. But when there is a venue, it does make it a little easier. And that's one of the reasons why we're quite keen is to get that, is just to facilitate some of that sort of, you know, program-driven stuff to be able to make it happen. Beautiful, beautiful. Emotionally healthy woman coming up. Yeah, invite some friends. Great, great. Good point, Roz. Wonderful. Are we done? We've prayed. Let's go and have coffee. Come on. Wonderful. Bless you.